Episode 2.2, The Pack. Life is funny. Existence has no defined reasoning. My personal existence is in question, but I have a theory for myself. I float aimlessly between two realities. The first, a hopeless woman by the name of Abby. The second, a doomed soldier by the name of Audie. I know no details of life for either reality. No past, and only vague events filling a patchwork of a present reality. I'm caught in an infinite loop of a shallow life and a bloody demise. I'll never find answers, because I never lived long enough to search for them. If my infinite loop theory is correct, I'll awaken as Audie in the midst of a final battle. Only this time, I know what's to come. The tunnel of wind blows my mind into infinity.
They control themselves in the untamed currents of the wind.
But the words of my grandfather bring me back to the ground. All of the experiences I've had are beginning to come together as one inclusive flow of useful knowledge for the future. For example, while in meetings between Max and his generals, I clearly saw the map and the placement of enemy troops. I need to get this on paper, stat. Gunshots echo in the distance, and a familiar voice yells in my direction.
Hiss, let's move out.
Libby smacks my backpack.
Come on, gotta get back to our guys.
I recognize this situation. A bullet from a nearby battle is about to whiz through the greenery, confirming my theory once again. We continue on to our rendezvous point. Again, we walk in the drizzling rain for what seems to be hours to meet up with PFC Grimes. Grimes comes out from behind a dead truck.
Hey, you better have a good excuse for being so damn late, Watson.
He walks toward Watson as before.
Yeah, Grimes, we ran into a little issue, but it's been resolved.
Watson continues toward the village. Libby butts in with the same dumb question.
So is there a lot of action around here?
Action!
Grimes winks.
You mean krauts with guns or hold a sticky dickin'? We have both.
The strange deja vu continues with a group laugh as we walk toward the village.
Rami! I lost a bet because of you, you asshole!
Wilcox comes toward us.
I said it'd take you an hour to get back here. That took you almost two!
He laughs and shoves Grimes playfully. As before.
Fresh meat.
He walks to me.
Hope you're better than our last medic. He bit the bullet.
Yeah, you bet, Wilcox. I'm a crack shot. I brag with a cocky smile worthy of Audie's persona.
Good for you, kid. Good for you.
Grimes grabs Wilcox and turns him around to see his face.
Leave him alone, Wilcox. Where's the sergeant?
Sergeant's playing a game of cards.
Yes. Right where I left him. Good thing you didn't leave his post.
You believe this shit?
We approach the table where Sergeant Mills is playing cards at an outdoor cafe. Grimes introduces us.
Sergeant Mills, here are your new guys.
Sergeant Mills gives us a quick glance and nods.
That's good. Update the new boys on the situation. We'll move off at 500 tomorrow.
We're casual here in the village. So make yourself...
The group walks away to tour the village, but I already know the village. I've been here before. Instead, I make my way inside the cafe to beat the crowd and get my hands on some of that jerky or the rope. I find a table and rummage through my knapsack. Other than the obvious gun with ammunition, I need to take record of my belongings. Jerky.
Canteen of water.
Zippo with a pack of Lucky Strikes. Journal with a fountain pen. A flashlight.
Medical supplies.
A compass. And finally,
a map. Okay, I think I got this.
While the rest of the men squabble over the last few scraps of jerky and cabbage soup, I begin the solemn task of plotting a safe route through hell.
Let's see here.
I unfold the map and look it over. Audie's already begun keeping track of locations of troops and enemies, even before I got here. Let's see if I can accurately remember the war plans. I pick up the pen, close my eyes, and picture the map from the Nazi war room. I see it all clearly.
Okay, I think I got it.
With my eyes still closed, I plot the troops on the map where I remember them to be.
Big picture.
I open my eyes again.
Okay.
I did it. Yes.
Yes.
I can't explain how, but the map is accurate. Every placement is precisely where I remember from Max's map. Now I plot the route the squad took the last time I looped into Audie's body. I find St. Joseph's, where we will eventually meet up with Sarge and his squad. When I connect the dots back to our current locale, It all becomes clear. The reason the last time this mission had a tragic ending.
Ah, fuck.
The squad is in grave danger. The route we're about to take marches straight through Nazi territory. They must have found us and followed us straight to St. Joe's. I can't allow this tragedy to happen again. This time I'm taking control. I'm taking my place at the front of the line, where I belong. I rush the Sergeant Mills.
Sergeant!
I shove the newly plotted map in his face.
You need to look at this map. Our current route heads straight through Nazi territory.
I point out the plots.
Right through here, look.
Mills has no sense of urgency.
Those really are Fritz's troops. Soldier, how in the hell would you know about it?
I can't think of a valid response. The very thought of my knowing more than him is an insult.
If there was something fishy going on, I would know about it.
What the hell?
Now,
what?
Go get some rest for the morning. Oh, 500, soldier. Oh.
He walks into the house where the rest of the squad leaders have hunkered down for the night. Detoured for now, I find a good sleep spot. I snuggle in as comfy as I can and fall into a spotty sleep. My eyes open, 4:30 in the morning. Again, it rained all night, but this time, I found a spot to stay dry and warm. I stretch and take in the morning air, the stale smoke staying stagnant in the humidity. Yuck. I meditate and ready myself for the upcoming march. I've decided I want to address Mills about the route again. Maybe he slept on it, and maybe he had a change of heart? I don't know. Mills carefully pours the last of his coffee into his aluminum cup and explains the route before we move out.
Otherwise,
he didn't believe me. He didn't change the route. This means we're all about to stroll right into enemy hands.
Sergeant!
I catch Sergeant Mills as he's loading up his things.
Did you have an opportunity to...
He stares at me as if he could flick me away like a bug.
Make a revised route?
Know your place, kid.
He whips his cigar butt and shouts at the squad.
Now let's move out!
Fuck! He didn't believe me. Once again, we're screwed. Oh well. 500 hours. Our troop is off into the woods to meet with the other half of our squad. I'm positive we're surrounded by enemy troops, yet the boys shout and bullshit dangerously loud. As for me, I'll stay quiet and far enough away from the group that I won't be noticed by enemies, yet still close enough to have their backs. St. Joe's Belfry rakes through the fog.
Finally.
I can't wait to be dry again.
Oh,
we climb the small hill, and a shadow comes out to greet us.
You dumbass!
The man approaches, shaking his head in disapproval.
I can hear your cockeyed bilge coming from a mile away.
He harasses Sergeant Mills.
I've been waiting here for almost an hour now. Thought you were dead. The hell took you so damn long?
Mills hands the man a bottle of liquor.
Fuck you, Sarge. You know we're all dead. Might as well celebrate.
Mills faces us and points his thumb in the man's direction.
Guys, this is Lieutenant Hamilton. We call him Sarge for some damn reason.
He slaps Sarge on the back.
Sarge is the mission leader. What he says goes.
Hamilton pushes up his helmet and I get a good look at his face. I can't believe it.
Jack?
I belch out before thinking. I almost hug him, but play it off and point to the woods.
Rabbit. Just a jackrabbit over there in the woods.
I cover my word vomit.
A white one with really big eyes. You know, the kind that leads you down a hole. A really big hole. Deep, deep hole.
Everyone half-heartedly looks around for the imaginary rabbit. Jack brushes off the awkward greeting.
Come on into St. Joe's, boys. Humble home, where it's dinner time.
Inside, I warm myself at the fire and eyeball the group of soldiers manning the weak points. They don't know about the nasty surprise we have waiting. Mills didn't believe me, but I know how to talk to Jack. Too bad I'm in the wrong body. Anyway, I need to find a way to speak with him about the upcoming cataclysm. I have to convince him. While I'm warming myself, Mills and Jack walk up behind me.
Whoa.
Mills grabs my jacket.
Harris, he's our medic.
He pats my back.
Tested highest in his company.
Jack looks at me.
A medic who's good with a rifle. What a gas. Could have used you in our last quagmire. And what do I call you exactly, Harrison?
I grin.
You can call me Doc.
Welcome to the squad, Doc. Let's go eat some dinner.
Okay.
I pass on the food. There's a more important matter I need to tend to. I don't want to be caught up in the same torturous loop. On a pew far from the rest of the squad, I pull out my map and flashlight and begin plotting. Jack sits on the pew in front of me.
Here, soldier.
He holds out a box for me.
Never pray on an empty stomach.
Well, I'm not praying, I'm plotting, sir. But I will take that food.
I smile and take the box.
Thanks, Jet. Sarge.
I open the box and begin to prepare my food. Jack returns my smile.
What are you plotting?
A new route. The one we're on is speckled with Nazis.
I hand him the map.
I've already plotted the enemy troops. Now I'm plotting an alternate route through them.
Jack examines the map.
How do you know about these locations?
Believe me, Jack. Oops.
It slipped out.
Sarge. Believe me, Sarge, you don't want to know how I know.
He hands me back the map.
And that's another thing. How the hell do you know my name? Do we know each other?
No, Sarge.
I emphasize the Sarge.
I call everyone I don't know Jack, as a general term for a random guy.
Shit. I lay out another terrible fib.
Yeah, so back to the matter at hand. We need to leave here tonight and take another route.
Mills said you were afraid, you know.
Jack eats his food and stares at me a moment in suspicion.
So, you plot an alternate route. Let me know when you're done. I'll look it over. Eat up.
He leaves to join the rest of the squad in a game of cards. I watch Jack interact with his men. If he only knew what was going on. Hell, if I only knew what was going on. My busy mind rattles thoughts around until I finally return to the plotting of the map. Once I've plotted a sufficiently safe route, I take a few cleansing breaths.
Okay.
I'm not 100% positive about my memory of the locations on the map, but I am 100% sure if we stay here, we're sitting ducks. I slowly walk to the front of the church and stand beside Jack as he's laughing and goofing off with the crew. All at once, they become silent and direct their vision toward me.
Sarge, I have that map you wanted.
Hands shaking, I give him the map. He nods and takes the map.
Thanks, soldier. Good work.
He sets the map on the table and returns to his boisterous game of poker. I tap his shoulder and whisper in his ear.
Sir, the German troops will have surrounded us by morning. You should look at the map now. We're gonna need to leave soon to avoid them.
Doc! What? Why don't you take a moment to relax while I finish this hand?
Oh.
He dismisses me and returns to his game of poker.
Yes, sir.
I return to my pew to clear my head. This needless spat reminds me of our time together in Natick. I think about the dreams he shared with me. It's a shame. He may never see his dreams realized if he ignores me. A moment later, Jack makes an announcement.
Everyone, we have reason to believe our current plan has been compromised. The Krauts may know we're here. We need a pack of scouts to forge a new, safer route. Leaving immediately.
Okay. Fun. I can't wait.
Jack nods in my direction.
I've already volunteered you, Doc.
Yes, sir.
It's me, Doc, and two more men.